Sentire Media.
Ciao a tutti and welcome to Venice Talks, a podcast series dedicated to Venice in Italy. I'm your host, Monica Cesarato, a Venetian food and travel blogger. Join me as I share my insider knowledge to help you explore Venice at 360 degrees. In this weekly podcast, we'll dive into the heart of the city, uncovering hidden stories and connecting with the people who make Venice unique. The artisans, the writers, the fashion designers, the bloggers, the journalists, and more. Let's break free from cliché and discover the true essence of Venice, not just the monuments, but the vibrant people, the Venetians. Experience Venice the right sustainable way. You can find me on my blog at www.monicacesarato.com and across all social media platforms. Enjoy the episode and let's journey through Venice together. Welcome back to Venice Talks, Season 2, Episode 3. Hi everybody and welcome back to Venice Talks. And here for Season 2, I have got another lovely guest. She was one of my first guests in Season 1 and is my dear friend Luisella Romeo, one of the best, if not the best in my opinion, guide in Venice. Ciao Luisella, how are you?
My dear Monica, ciao, ciao to everyone. Grazie for your always lovely words. I hope I will not disappoint you.
No, you never do. And I do mean it when I say you are one of my favorite, definitely, if not my favorite guide. I mean, and I speak on behalf of a lot of other people that usually come on the tours and everything. Everybody always got so many nice things to say about you because you're just so knowledgeable, so entertaining, so, oh my God, engaging. I mean, you are a source of so many information.
The problem is that I enjoy myself too much.
So. No, like, you know what I think your problem is that, but it's not a problem, it's a great thing. So you love reading. And I know you love reading. And I think you like to transmit all the time everything that you read, don't you?
Yeah, I also think that it's important never to be too serious. Mm-hmm. And somehow this is my way to face serious stuff. So that's something that probably, you know, when people visit, it's nice to have a pleasant conversation. Mm-hmm. And to face subjects with always some, you know,
lightness.
Not much,
lightness.
Some irony.
And lightness. Listen, Luisella, we spoke literally, I think, because you, as I said, you were on one of the first episodes, so we nearly on 2 years. Okay.
I know.
I mean, obviously, we have spoken in between, but actually, officially on a podcast, it was about nearly 2 years ago. So tell us, what have you been doing? Because I know you've been doing something very particular. So can you tell us?
Well, it's already 2 years. It sounds like yesterday when we started your, well, I'm sure that for you it's been a lot of work, so it's just that it was a really pleasant conversation. What I've been doing in the last 2 years is a lot, apart from the fact that I started taking piano lessons online with a lovely lady.
I knew you were gonna come up with something different.
You know,
online.
She's in Venice, and I've always loved learning the piano. I'm not that good, but it's always that keeps my brain working. Uh-huh. And it's one thing. Then the other, you know, I love sailing. And so on our San Pierotta, which mm-hmm. is this traditional wooden boat, we have taken part to a couple of years of championship. Keep us busy all summer.
I actually remember years ago taking a photo of you on, I think it was one of your first rowing lessons.
Rowing I learned when I was a child with my I needed to practice. I needed to learn a little bit more. So yes, yeah. I was taking a rowing class, but then starting in 2021, I started sailing. And so sailing means that we are going around with our sampierotta, the traditional wooden boat, and we have a sail we call Vela al Terzo, and explore the lagoon on the
It's
Vela al
an
Terzo also.
association as well, isn't it?
So I've become a member of the Associazione Vela al Terzo, and I've taken part to I've done one course, but then a lot of practice with quite ironic and comic results. But trust me, it's getting better and better. And at least we can start when the regatta starts. We can also start moving, which is a great result. Anyway. But then this allowed us to take cruises for several days in a row, both in the Northern Lagoon and in the Southern Lagoon. So this is a different approach to the lagoon. And then last year in the summer, we did also a major adventure with some friends of mine. We started an adventure, and so from the Lagoon of Venice, we went all the way up rivers and lagoons, all the way back to
Nice.
direction Trieste, using basically the network of canals, which in the past were replaced eventually by trains. But that's a different story.
But Luisella, would you recommend for people to come into Venice to try such a sort of experience?
Well, first of all, I would say that it's always been part of my tours to offer rowing classes, and I've started also offering sailing classes. So if people are interested in learning which way Venetians used to and still sail in the lagoon, why not? You need to be sportive, as it's not going to be the sailboat where all you need to do is to push a button and then everything happens miraculously. You really need to learn about knots, how to move on the boat. I mean,
How not to fall off a boat.
well, that would be a problem, but you know that the lagoon is always a welcoming environment, as long as you don't have a storm. And
Plenty of
if
water
you
to
fall in
fall.
the water, usually, it's a shallow usually, but anyway. So that's one more thing I've started doing in the last 2 years, and then a year ago I started taking a course on Judaism, because the Jewish community in Venice offered the opportunity to take a course where the subjects faced would help us understand Jewish culture, also the religious aspects, and not just. And then at the end of 8 6 lessons last December, I took a course. Sorry, I did
A
the
test.
exam, the test, and it's not the, I mean, yes. It's a test. The course still goes on, and it's going to end by June or July this year. But thanks to the fact that I passed the test, then I'm already allowed to take my clients in the synagogues, which is something that I was not allowed to do for several reasons in the last 24 years. And when the Museum of Jewish Culture in Venice reopens, we all hope it will be by 2025,
Because
then I'll be happy.
they've been closing because they're doing a lot of refurbishment, right?
So yes, they started the restoration years ago. Then with COVID, there was a sort of a stop. Then they kept on going. Then, of course, they have to rethink the way the museum is going to be arranged, which sections, which items, which itinerary. And so the director of the Jewish Museum, Marcello Ansaldi, is telling us that it should be reopening by 2025. So not just restored, but also rearranged in its collection, and it's an itinerary. So this is something, you know, my Jewish tour, my Jewish Venice tour, is already 3 hours long. We cover a lot of different places in Cannaregio. I mean, we really change a subject from the Holocaust, the Shoah, to fashion, to history, to architecture. So we really cover a lot of different subjects. And I don't know, I mean, when also I'll be able to add the museum and the synagogues, I don't know how
You're gonna
long it will
spend a
last.
day. You're just gonna spend that. You start at 9, you finish at 10
And
o'clock. I
of course, you know that we have that wonderful bakery.
know.
So, I mean, I
Okay.
know we
Okay,
can
there
stop
is one
in the
thing.
bakery in between to get the
Yeah, listen.
necessary sugar to keep going.
Okay, there is one thing we can definitely talk about in length, is the bakery and the cakes in the bakery. I mean, I keep saying to everybody, I go, make sure you go to the bakery, because it's the cakes there, you're never gonna see them anywhere ever again. I mean, I just simply adore those. And they're so different from all the other biscuit cookies and cakes that you see around Venice anyway. I mean, I particularly like the impade. And oh, I don't know, what is your favorite when you go to Volpe?
Oh no, I do love almond, and so that's my favorite. But I must say that what I like about the Volpe bakery is that, unlike other kosher bakeries you can find in Europe, also in Venice, there you can see the Venetian specialties. And so it's not just the Middle Eastern tradition, but it's the mix of all the different Jewish civilizations, which met in Venice. And so that it's a mix of flavors. It's not just Ashkenaz, it's also Sephardic, and you just do not know what to choose, because in the end they're all good. I'm not a tooth, I could say sweet tooth, but I must say that the almond for me is a way to reconnect to Sicily. And so yes, I
Yeah.
definitely love the almond
I
cookie.
also
What about
particularly
you? I said impada, but don't you I mean, many try the impada and say, oh, I thought it would be sweeter.
no, actually, I was maybe because I did try other Jewish cakes all over the, you know, around the world and stuff like that. So, no, I wasn't expecting anything particularly sweet. You know what? I was expecting it softer. That's what I wasn't
Ah,
expecting. So that was a bit like, oh, okay, it's hard, but that's as far as you went. And what I particularly love is the sweet matzo. Now, that's weird. I always say weird, but good. Because it's so with the
So,
anise
yeah.
flavor.
And as we know, I mean, they are open every day almost. So it would be a perfect way to get the energy in between or at the end of the tour. Now, the synagogues at the moment are open. So if that's important to tell our people listening, you can actually go to the Jewish area, and you will find in the office the possibility also to hire an audio guide. So you can do a self-guided tour of the synagogues open at the moment. It will change because, of course, the community is trying to help you enjoy the history of the place. In any case, even if the museum is under restoration, even if the German, the Italian, and the Canton synagogues are not currently open to tours. So I'm sure that in a few months, you do need to contact us or to look at the website of the community in Venice to learn update, because it's going on and it's developing.
So you're always so busy doing so many things. You got to tell me, where do you actually find all this energy? I mean, I know people ask me, but I do other things. You always do a lot of physical things because, I mean, piano, sailing, thousands of tours. Oh, and we haven't even started on your virtual tours, and we'll talk in a minute. And then you're involved with, I know that You at least last year, I don't know if you're gonna be, I assume so as well. You're also involved with a biennale, right? Sometimes.
Not this year, because as you say, it requires a lot of energy. So,
See?
next
Both.
year, but I'll be happy to give recommendations, referrals, if any is interested in exploring the Biennale this year.
Where do you find the energy? Tell me, woman, because and you're always so stylish and always so nice and oh, okay, that's why you got the energy because you're nice and fit. That's why.
No. So I've always been, it's a matter of organization, but I always think of what it was like in the ancient times when people of a younger age were already people that had done so much in their lives, no? So I always feel I don't do enough. I don't know. I think, yeah, okay, I find the energy, and the energy comes from the fact that I like what I'm doing. If I didn't like it, I wouldn't find any time to do it,
That's
trust
true. That's
me.
true.
But I also have to say that in the past, if you think of the way people lived, they read more. I recently have arranged a tour of the Fortuny Museum. Now, if you think of what Mariano Fortuny did in his life, I mean, amazing, what all these eclectic interests and being excellent in all these things. You really think there was a different way of living at that time. All these travels, and then you have his books with his photos, with his
Well,
diary.
you know, Luisa, we didn't have all the medias that we have now, between TV, phones, and PCs and stuff. It takes away so much of our time when before this, you really had loads of time to
Let's
do.
say that we risk to waste our life looking at the media, no? But at the same time, you really pick up a lot of ideas from the media. So that's why I keep on being active on social accounts, so hoping to give ideas to the ones
Well,
visiting and what to
one
watch.
thing we talk about, me and you, when about 2 years ago, it was how you managed to stay afloat during COVID because you started your virtual tours. You were with, I think, the first one of the guides. I mean, I know that now some more did it, but you actually were the one that went full on professional. You got your stabilizer, you got your thing, and you were doing tours, but you still do them really well, and you still got a lot of followers joining the tours, don't you?
Absolutely, yes. And it's fascinating how even now, when usually people do not find problems in traveling, there's a high request for this kind of tours. The difference is that the tours I ran during COVID were mainly in the city. Now, instead, it's focusing on hidden jewels. So on the Friday, I will run my first live stream tour at the Scuola Grande San Rocco. As you know, it features over 50 paintings by Tintoretto, and not just. And what it's amazing is that Save Venice is restoring the Crucifixion, the main painting by Tintoretto you find when you enter the Sala dell'Albergo. And I will be then wearing a helmet and climb the scaffoldings
Oh my
to
God.
go up and show the restoration of the painting by Tintoretto.
So as a
And this
guide, listen, as a guide, how hard was it to because obviously you're back on the beat, you're back giving proper tours on physically to physical tours with people, but how hard was it to the transition from doing the tours with the people to actually do online tours?
No, it was not hard. I loved it. I mean, I'm at the very beginning, my reaction was it will not be as involving as a touring person. But then I found my way, and it's always human connections. So, people do give a feedback, and once you feel the energy on the other side, you feel that they like it, then it's really a major fuel thing. I mean, fuel that will give you the possibility to show even to people that cannot travel what you like and what you share, what you both love. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, when I went up there on the scaffoldings to look at the details of the painting by Tintoretto, the brush strokes and the dirt that was being removed with a lot of time and patience, it was really emotional. So I thought, let's see if I can do it online. Then the other one I'm very happy to run is the live stream tour of the Church of the Ferrari. And the priest there has shown so much understanding and patience and enthusiasm for this kind of tour that he allows me to go beyond the rope where,
Nice.
usually the alarm goes on.
Of course.
So you can get closer to the Titian, closer to the painting by Giovanni Bellini. You can see the details that you cannot see from. I mean, when you go to the Ferrari Church, of course, you have to keep meters and meters away
Of
from these
course.
artworks.
But with a
Whereas
camera, you can.
they remove the alarm when I'm doing the tour, so I can go very, very close. And on in 2 days, the restoration of the wonderful statue of by Donatello of Saint John the Baptist is over, and that's been paid by Venice in Peril. And so that will be part of the tour because basically I can go closer to the statue
Of
of
course.
John the Baptist and show the details, his
So
heart and lips, the painting.
Luisale, in a way, these virtual tours, you lose a little bit because, of course, you're not there physically, but you gain a lot because you get to do things that generally on a normal tour people wouldn't, they get to see things that they wouldn't see. Would you say
Exactly.
is also one way for people, is a great way for people to prepare themselves? By watching your tour, so when they come to Venice, they know what to go and look for.
So, in fact, after now that COVID has weakened, I wouldn't say it's over. Many people come to Venice and they want to meet me and take a tour with me, even to the same places which I've shown online. So, as you said beautifully, the tours you take online can prepare you to the tours you take in person and do not overlap. So they are absolutely parallel. And so it's just another way of touring. And there's a friend of mine that says that I'm a genius because I managed to bring hundreds of people in the same place without creating any over tourism.
That's true. It's absolutely true. And by the way, how many people, when you have them on as you do it through Zoom or something like this, how many people can join the virtual tour?
It depends. Usually, I work with associations, arts societies, and so it can also be over 100. So it's a lot of also, yeah, questions that come along during the tour, also after the tour. So yeah, I mean, it's really a lot of people.
And I know that you have your fans, that as in you have certain you have followers that do all of your online tours because I know them personally as well, some of our common friends and stuff. And it's nice because I think you kind of built like a relationship, so they're gonna be, oh, here you go again. Oh, nice to see you again. But
You know,
maybe
It's important that the group of followers also give me the idea. The group of people gives me the idea of what else I can do. No, so it's never over. So just recently, for instance, I was asked to arrange a new tour on African Venice. This is
Very interesting.
another major project that I'm working on. Just been published on the 16th of February. This book has been placed in all the greatest bookshops we have in Venice. We are very many independent bookshops in Venice. And you can see on the window case, you can see this new publication by Wetlands, which is an interesting publishing house set in Venice. And the title is African Venice. And it's edited by Kaplan and Bassi. And it's featuring a lot of different articles, but it's also offering you itineraries through the city to explore the presence of African culture in Venice. And it's not talking about Egypt only. Egypt, of course, for Venice is a big thing because of St. Mark, because of Alexandria, because of trading. But I'm talking about also different parts of Africa and in its art, in its architecture, in its culture, and it's amazing. So that's another thing I'm working on. Maybe I will have more followers after.
Listen, have you ever a thought about doing the virtual tour while you're sailing?
I know because I have to keep in my hands
Well, can you f find this? Can't you
the
just
rope,
fix it?
the
Can you fix?
sail. I have to move from one side of the boat to the other. It's
Well, listen. What about with a pro with a GoPro camera? You should think about
well,
that.
but it's not exactly so. You have to move too
Too
much.
much. Okay, well, what about
I
while
think
you
people
wrote?
would get us sick, even
Well,
if they're
listen.
not by the sea.
Listen, it's with special effect. It's can you imagine? Listen, what about rowing then? Rowing, you could do it.
Yeah, but I mean, we go slow, and I mean, yeah, I think that in that case, you need to come to Venice and do it personally. I
Personally,
mean,
okay.
I've done a tour of the waterways in the city and in the lagoon with a water taxi
Okay.
because in that way I have a great captain
Yeah.
taking me where I want to go while I do the explanation and the filming. When it
Yeah.
comes to rowing and sailing, instead, you need to come here and to feel. By the way, did I tell you? I think I did. I run these tours for blind people
You did on the other show, but let's talk about it again because we got
because
5 minutes.
rowing is something that I do also with blind people, and it's really nice. I remember last time we went on one of these classes, rowing class, and the lady said, "Oh, we're passing by some laundry. I can smell."
Smell it. Nice.
See. So, I mean, it really is something that people don't expect, but you should do the rowing here rather than to
Yeah.
have a
So, you
GoPro. I
know,
mean,
guys, we spoke about it on the episode on season one, so you can go and listen to it. Luisella organizes also tours for disabled people, and she's amazing on this as well. Luisella, what's the future holding for you? I mean, I'm scared to ask you because you've got so many things, coming up with so many ideas, but what's in the future for at least in the next, let's say, in the next 12 months?
no, because sooner or later I will retire.
Later, come on.
No, it's too early. What is in the future? Well, I'm working on in terms of work, you mean?
But yeah, because if I ask you about anything else, I think we'll do another hour probably.
So the first thing will be to arrange a couple of tours on African Venice for
Mm-hmm.
sure. Then when the course is over by June, I hope I will start giving the tours on the scene of the synagogues, and maybe I would love to extend, maybe not all of them, but just to complete
Mm-hmm.
have already arranged for several years. And that's it. I'm getting ready for a busy season. Now we expect a lot of people to come for the summer. Maybe too many, in the sense that I noticed that a lot of people contacting me are asking for St. Mark's Square tours, and I noticed that this is probably the sign of the fact that people still need to be told that there
Yes.
will be more than St. Mark's Square when they come.
Absolutely.
But even with this idea of the entrance fee,
Let's not go into that. Let's not go into that, please. Let's not go
okay, I
into
will not talk about it.
that.
But I mean, the problem is that if you pay to come to Venice, then you expect the city not to be so crowded, and instead you will find the city crowded. So
Absolutely. And it crowded in the
it's
wrong way.
cheating. It's a cheating.
Yeah. Well, we always talked, me and you, about, education, information, a good strategy from the city of explaining how Venice should be visited. But we know it's a lost cause. Let's not go into that. Luisella, where can people find you online and on social medias?
Thank you for asking. So my website is the best way to contact me. You can find not just my tours, you can find also my experiences, and you can find all my contacts there. I would also recommend you have a look at the blog, as in the blog you will find articles every month. Article on a different subject.
What's the website, Bob?
The website is cvenice.it, which is spelled SEE venice.it.
Okay.
And
And
oh,
I
of
got
course,
to
I forgot, but this year it will be dedicated to Marco Polo. So
Oh,
I'm
yes.
happy also to run tours on this amazing person that we have something to show in
Don't
Venice for
you
sure.
get confused that you got so many different type of tours offering.
No,
No.
I've always been a person that thinks in one way and then connects to another and another and another and
Oh.
another. So that's it's easy.
Yeah, I got to say, you're both prolific, both on your tours and on your blog, because you are very persistent. I got to say, we've known each other for many years now, but you are really persistent with the blog, because I switched a bit with the podcast, but you are persistent. So,
Well, but you invent new things. I'm more traditional, let's put it.
Is that I'm you say, okay, you want a truth? I'm lazy, that's why. So for me, it's easier to do this than to actually write. That's why I'm a procrastinator and I'm a very lazy person. So that's I always try to find the to manage to try to get the best with the least effort. Okay, so okay, Luisella. Okay, we're not gonna leave it to another year. Obviously, I'm going to speak to you sooner than that. And we probably, when, well, before, obviously, the museum opens. And because I'm pretty sure you're going to invent some more tours that I need to speak to you about.
Of
And
course.
it was so nice talking to you. And thank you again for chatting to us.
But thank you, and thank you for everyone listening to this podcast. Thank you for all your work, Monica. A big hug
Grazie.
to everyone, and take care.
Ciao, ciao.
Ciao.
Thank you, Luisella, for the fun chat. You can find Luisella at www.cvenice.it and on social media as Luisella Romeo.
Thank you again for listening. Venice Talks Podcast is a production of Sentire Media, created, produced, and hosted by me, Monica Cesarato. Follow Venice Talks wherever you get your podcast, and if you want to book a food tour or a cooking experience with me, you can find me over at www.monicacesarato.com and on all social medias with the handle at Monica Cesarato, where you can follow my adventures around Venice. And don't forget, if you love this episode, please rate it and leave a review. It's very much appreciated.
Sentire Media.
Hey, podcast producers and show hosts. Do you want to join a podcast network that celebrates all things Italian? At Sentire Media, we understand the allure of Italy and its unique culture. Our devoted team of hosts and producers are all driven by their shared passion for Italy. And we work tirelessly to create the best lifestyle podcasts and content that will whisk you away to the very heart of Italy. With us, you can savor the mouth-watering flavors, get lost in the stories from the past, break down the cultural barriers, and truly immerse yourself in the vibrant traditions of this intoxicating country. If you have a great podcast idea or are already in production and would like to join Sentire Media, head over to sentiremedia.com, that's S-E-N-T-I-R-E media.com, and find out how to submit your show.